Good evening. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. I'm excited to be here. I was excited to receive the invitation to share this evening with you all. And I'm excited about what God has in store for you tonight. I really believe that I have something to share with you as a church body that the Lord has on his heart for us. I think that after tonight, you're going to sense a new pulling, a new stirring, a new heart to move in a new direction with the Lord as never before. And I'm believing that for you tonight. So it's good to be here. Pastor Marty, thank you. You always welcome us so warmly, and we're glad to be here. Pastor Patty, thank you. And I have some friends here, Pastor Bob from Attica, who's here, and it's so good to see you. And my friend Eric, who's part of our prophets class. It's just good to be here. And Batavia's becoming, you know, like home to us. We're getting used to this. It's a nice drive out here. It's like, okay, we can do this. It's good to be here. Again, my daughters are here, my better-looking half Barbie, and Joanne and Jennifer, who are part of my team. We're happy to be here. So I have a message I want to share with you tonight, and we're going to get into it very quickly. And we're going to ask the sound guy if you can put that up on the screen for me. That'd be great. I want to talk to you about something that's so very important. Now, before I even get started, I need you to know that someone that stands before you here today, God, I'm so blessed because the ministry that God has called me to, it's an awesome ministry. I love my ministry. I love doing what God has called me to do. I don't have to try to do it. I don't have to force myself to do it. I love doing it because it's a gift that he's given me. It's a calling. It's an anointing that he's given me. And I do it. I do it gladly and freely to the Lord because that's what he's called me to do. But let me say something. When I was a kid, you all know my story. I shared it here a little bit. I asked the Lord that I wanted to know how to hear his voice. And that was the draw of my life. I wanted to know how to hear the voice of God. And I would pour myself out and say, God, I want to hear from you. I want you to speak to me. I want to hear you like my mother says you speak. Because my mother would always say, I prayed and God said to me. I prayed and God said to me. And that marked my life. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to learn how to hear your voice. Would you speak to me as well? And as a kid, the Lord began to answer my prayer. And I remember when I was 8 years old, God spoke to me out of an open vision where he took me up into the spirit realm. And I stood before a screen and God showed me pictures about my life, things that would unfold in my life. And that marked a whole new life for me as a kid. Now, we didn't have much growing up, but we had the voice of God. And we would gather at home and we would pray and have prayer circles. And we knew that God would speak to us, that God would communicate to us. We became familiar with knowing that God was a communicating God. Amen? That marked my life forever. I had angelic encounters. There were nights I was getting ready to go to bed. One night I was sleeping. I was in a sound sleep. And all of a sudden, I didn't feel alone. I felt like someone was in my room, but I felt okay. When I opened my eyes, there was this huge angel standing at the foot of my bed. Smiled at me. I smiled back and it didn't say a word to me, but I knew the angel was kind of saying to me, you can sleep. I'm watching over you. And I turned over and I kept sleeping. Many encounters, many visions that I would have while we were praying, while we would have family worship, the Lord would speak to me in visions. Many dreams God would give me about the coming of the Lord. He would give me visions about how things would turn at the end times. He would give me visions about the throne room. He would give me visions about all kinds of things. I grew up knowing that there was a God who communicates. And how awesome was that? But let me tell you something. God also warned me in a vision when I was a kid that I would hit an age of my life where I would rebel. I didn't understand what that meant. But I remember out of a vision, the Lord spoke to me. It was like I was battling all these demonic beings that were coming at me in a vision. And I was fighting one after another after another. And they were coming at me one after another after another. I didn't know what it meant. And when I hit an early age of early adolescence, I began to rebel on every level that you can imagine. And when I rebelled, let me tell you something. Something opened up in me. There was a hunger and there was a thirst for power. How is it that a young man who grew up in a godly household where we were taught the word of God, we were instructed in the word of the Lord, a young man who cried out to hear the voice of God, a young man who saw the voice of God in visions and in dreams, had angelic encounters, and had face-to-face, it seemed that way, in visions and dreams with the Lord. How can it be that I would transition from that to entering into a period of darkness in my life? So dark that I was suddenly drawn for power. Something, a voice kept telling me, if you go after this, I can make you powerful. An appetite grew within me. Something grew quickly. and I started pursuing the path to power. My prayer about, God, I want to know how to hear your voice, ended, and all I wanted was power. Making a long story short, a friend introduced me to some occult activities, and I started drawing in closer. I started buying up and storing up books on wizards and magic and this and that, and I started getting my hands on everything I could because I knew I could be powerful. But it seemed like even though I was getting my hands on a lot of information, I couldn't quite make the connection I wanted. I knew there was an opportunity for me. I knew there was an invitation for me. And I wanted it. And I looked for every opportunity. I tried to connect with people. And I tried, there were certain people that were in the occult. And every time I tried to connect, it would just unravel before me. And I remember I would get so angry because I knew my mother was praying. And I would tell God, I would slam the door of my room and I'd go in my room and I'd yell at him. I said, would you leave me alone? Would you stop answering my mother's prayers? I knew he was blocking me. But hallelujah that he blocked me. Bless God that he blocked me. Because when I was 16 years old, I ran to the altar after having tried to take my own life unsuccessfully, praise God. I ran to the altar and I surrendered to the Lord. And after surrendering to the Lord, and the Lord began to minister to my life and mend me and heal me and bring me to a place of understanding, all of a sudden there that voice once again started speaking to my life. And it's like I had forgotten. And I remember thinking, I remember you used to speak to me. I remember you. It's like I went through a period where I got amnesia. I forgot all about him. But suddenly I remembered that sweet voice. Suddenly I remembered that voice that would communicate to me to say to me, I have a good plan for you. How can it be that someone who grew up in a Christian household suddenly found himself going after, aggressively, connecting in the occult? Folks, I want to talk to you tonight about something about the devil that we don't talk enough about. The devil is laying a trap to go after people, to kill, steal, and destroy. I'd like you to switch to the next slide, please. The Bible says very clearly that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Something we don't understand, there are two kingdoms in the spirit realm. Right now, we're sitting in this room, but around our world exists another world. It's the spiritual world. It's a spirit realm, and it's a real world. As a matter of fact, this world that we're sitting in right now was created by God who exists in the spirit world. That world is more real than this world. Before things happen here, things happen there first. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, they stayed looking at it and they looked at Jesus saying, was something supposed to happen? What they didn't understand is when Jesus cursed the fig tree, he cursed it and in the spirit realm, it withered immediately. Then it took effect and it withered in the natural. Things happen in the spirit first, then in the natural. And there are two kingdoms that exist in the spirit realm, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And in the realm that surrounds our world, there are angels, there are demons, there are wars being fought, there are clashes in the spirit realm that affect things that happen in our world. See, many times we look at what happens in the natural too much. We're so busy looking at the natural realm, and we think, that's a bad neighborhood. That's a bad city. I don't like going over there. And we forget that things happen in the spirit realm that have a spillover effect in the natural. So therefore, the kingdom of God has a plan for you. God has a good plan for you. He has a good plan for every human being alive on this world today. Every human that ever existed, he's had a good plan for them. That's why he sent his son Jesus, so that we could receive the love of God and receive the best plan of God that he has for us. That's why he sent Jesus. And part of God's plan is that you would know his voice, because by hearing God, he will lead you to your destiny. It's important. We can't serve God and not cultivate an ear to hear from him. Because by hearing from him, that's how we're going to be guided onto the path that he has for us. However, the kingdom of darkness has another plan. The other plan that the kingdom of darkness has is to stop you from connecting and surrendering to God. And in that plan to stop you from surrendering to God, the kingdom of darkness, part of what it does is it mimics and it counterfeits the voice of God. Now, it's important to understand something about counterfeits. Counterfeits many times look like the real thing. But you got to look closer. As a matter of fact, I read somewhere that bank tellers are trained how to spot and deal with counterfeit bills. And you know how they do that? They're trained. They don't spend any time looking at the fake stuff. They tell them when you handle enough of the real money, when a fake one crosses your path, you're going to know it. When you handle enough of the genuine, you're going to know by default anything fake that crosses your path. So what happens is the devil is a master strategist. Remember, the devil cannot create. He doesn't have creative powers. So he resorts to the next best thing. He copies everything that God does. God is creator. He is a master creator. He is creative. God loves to create. He shows off his creative abilities. Just look at this perfect season for that. Take a drive. Look at all that beautiful foliage. That's God showing off his colors and showing off his creativity. God is creative. He's a creator. He can't help but create. That's who he is. Satan can't do that, so he copies everything that God does, trying to deceive and set forth a counterfeit. Satan is a master counterfeiter. I don't think we give him enough credit for what he does. He knows how to counterfeit. As a matter of fact, it was Satan who got in the Garden of Eden. Now, remember, when we read about Adam and Eve and how God created Adam and Eve, it says that God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and he called their names out. He said, Adam, Eve. Now, if God walked in the garden calling them out, you better believe he did that regularly. That was a normal occurrence. Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God. How cool is that? God was a relational God, and he knew them by name, and he had that personal relationship with them. Yet Adam and Eve, although they had that personal relationship with God, guess what? Satan presented himself one day as a serpent, and he used some of the truth to twist the truth, and he presented a lie. He tricked Adam and Eve, and he tricked them good. He got them to disobey God. He didn't pull any triggers. He didn't twist any arms. He used his words to twist what God said just enough to get them to doubt God. And eventually we know the rest of the story. That day when Satan entered the snake, when he deceived Adam and Eve, that's the day that the counterfeiting industry was born. And let me tell you, folks, the counterfeiting industry is booming. It's big business. The kingdom of darkness is into the counterfeiting business. I was watching a documentary about counterfeiters that are taking all these designs by designers, and they're counterfeiting them at the designer's expense. And it's a major pain, but they can't really shut them down. Law enforcement can't do anything. When they shut down one counterfeiting business, 10 more open up over here. When they shut those 10 down, 20 open up over there. And I was just thinking, I can't imagine being a designer, using all your creative juices and your creative flow to create a design for something, and then someone just comes and just takes your design and puts their name on it. Can you imagine? And the devil is a master at that. But as Christians, we're supposed to have discernment. We're supposed to know the voice of God, and by default, we will know anything, any voice that is not the voice of the Lord. So the devil is a master counterfeiter, and he has a plan to deceive the world. Let's switch. The Bible warns us, be sober-minded, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. There is a plan to stop you from fully surrendering to God. And that's us in here, in church. We're not even talking about those folks out there that haven't surrendered to the Lord yet. So the devil is a very intelligent foe. And his plan is to deceive us, to trick us. He's using communication as well so that we could be deceived and led astray away from God's plans. Now, here's something that we need to know tonight. The two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness that dwell in the spirit realm, they both communicate. God communicates to humanity. The devil communicates to humanity. But what we need is, in order to hear those voices, we need an entity that's going to carry that message from the spirit realm to this realm to help us hear that message. Now, in the kingdom of God, we know what that entity is, who that entity is. It's the Holy Spirit. We have permission to tap into the realm of God and hear from God through the Holy Spirit. He is the one who brings us the message from the Lord. He is the one, he is God. He's the one who communicates God's heart to us, God's mind to us, God's thoughts to us, God's perspective to us. It's the Holy Spirit. That is the legal way to hear from God. But the kingdom of darkness has found a way around that. And what they do is the devil uses demonic spirits to communicate from the kingdom of darkness. And there are people that have opened themselves up to hear from those voices of darkness. They're hearing from the realm of the spirit. They're not hearing legally. They're hearing illegally through demonic spirits. So we've got to be careful, and we've got to know that there's an enemy out there communicating, looking to devour, looking to deceive, looking to get people's attention. He's like a spider in a web. He's looking to draw us closer to him so then we are his prey. He's looking to devour. Let's switch to the next one. So the trap is set. In order to destroy you, the devil has a plan of to trap you in a web of deception. I don't know how you feel about deception. I don't like being lied to. Anybody here ever been had? You ever been the victim of a scam? That makes you feel invaded. That makes you feel taken. That makes you feel angry. There's nothing worse than realizing that you've been lied to. That's one thing I love about the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls him the Spirit of Truth. He cannot lie to you. He will not lie to you. He will not flatter your ear. He will tell you the truth. He will tell you that. And why do we need the truth? Because that's what sets us free. So when we open up our ears and develop a lifestyle and an attitude to hear from God, we will always hear the word that will set us free. God's not going to give you a word to keep you in bondage. God's not going to say, you know, I really would like it if you pray, but that's all right. You just stay on the couch and keep watching TV. You're fine. God will always give us the truth of where he sees us, of where we are, to help set us free. But the devil is like a master strategist. He's like that spider that's looking to draw us in through counterfeit communication so that we could be drawn towards a deception and then get trapped so that now he can devour us, steal, kill, and destroy. Let's go to the next one. Let's talk about some of this deception. Psychic readings, mediums, tarot cards, astrology, magic, witchcraft, voodoo, shapeshifting, spellcasting, hexing, wizardry, seances, spirit guides, vampirism, and it goes on and on. That's just some of the many expressions that are out there where the kingdom of darkness is openly trying to communicate its perspective to this world today. Now, we'll look at that and we'll say, I'll never be a part of that. I'll never go to any. But let me tell you something, folks, brothers and sisters, mediums. I was just watching a TV show that's out right now. Maybe you've seen it. It's called The Long Island Medium. When I saw this, there's a woman who's very charismatic. I'm not mad at her. We're not supposed to be mad at her. We're not supposed to be afraid of her. We're not supposed to hate her. None of that. We're supposed to love her and pray for her. It's a charismatic Italian lady from Long Island. She's probably someone you might want to get to know. She seems very friendly. I'd want to have a cup of coffee with her. Very friendly. But she walks the community, and everywhere she goes, she's an evangelist for the occult. Everywhere she goes, there's no apologies. She says, everywhere I go, my goal is to communicate a message from a dead loved one to someone that I encounter. So there she is paying her bills. There she is getting her hair done. There she is going to the meat market. And everywhere she goes, the spirits interrupt her, she says. And they give her a message, and she'll stop anyone and anywhere and openly says, you over there, can you come over here? Nice and loud, she'll say, I'm a medium. I communicate with people that have passed. Did you have a loved one that died? And she goes into it right there. And before you know it, everyone around her starts crowding in because they want to hear what she has to say. And she's delivering this message from a deceased loved one. And before you know it, she has everyone's attention. People are crying. People are thanking her. And people are turning to the camera saying, I didn't believe in this stuff, but after today, my life has been changed. There is a deception that's going on in the world today. The devil doesn't play fair, and he's playing for keeps. He is out there, and he's mobilizing his army of darkness. And they are getting bolder and bolder and bolder in getting out there and doing what he wants them to do. And you and I are the church of Jesus Christ. And you and I, we're the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. And we are the army of God. We are the ones that carry the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We are the ones that carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So how is it? What are we supposed to do? As the enemy grows bolder and bolder, we carry that anointing. I believe that God is putting a charge on the church saying, rise up. Rise up now. We need to not only expect the harvest to walk in through that door, we're that army to go get the harvest with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I was watching a news clip, Pastor Marty, and they were saying that every time the economy does bad, psychic business booms. Everyone wants to know what life has in store for them, and they run to the psychics. Why? Why are they running to the psychics to listen to a counterfeit voice? Every time anyone sits in front of a psychic, a medium, any one of these individuals, they're opening themselves up to communication from the realm of darkness. It's a voice that will bring, even though they tell them accurate stuff, I don't care if they tell them their name, their address, because some of this stuff is very accurate. It's demons communicating. And demons are spiritual beings, and they're in the spirit realm. They observe us from the spirit realm. They know stuff about us. They're intelligent beings. They can communicate that back. They can communicate. They can certainly do that. They observe us from the spirit realm, and they can communicate. Now, they do that to trap us. As a matter of fact, when we read in the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 16, Paul was on his way to church one day, minding his business, when a girl possessed with a demon of divination. We're talking about Apostle Paul here. He was on his way to church, and a girl filled with a demon was following him every day. And she would shout behind him saying, this is a man of God showing us the way to salvation. Let me ask you a question. Was she lying? She wasn't lying. How did she know that then? What was speaking through her? A demon. Demons are intelligent beings. They observe from the realm of darkness. They see things about us. They know things about our bloodline. They know things about our families. And they can communicate that through demonic people to make us think God is talking to us. It's a trap. It's a deception. Many people lose loved ones. Oh, I didn't finish that. Apostle Paul dealt with it for a little bit, but he got fed up. It got to him. At one point, he turned around. He was filled with authority, and he said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave her. And it said that that demon of divination left her that very hour. She was no longer able to tell fortunes. She was making a lot of money for some people. And when that spirit left, her ability, her quote-unquote gift, was gone. That demon was gone. And they were mad. Demons are able to communicate. There are people that lost loved ones without any answers. And they're in grief. They're in pain. So what do? They'll go to a medium who, quote, unquote, communicate with the dead. It's a trap. The Bible says we are forbidden from going to mediums because that is not what happens. It's actually a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit will take on the form of a person and pretend they are that person communicating back to their loved one. God forbade his people and still forbids us from going and participating in any of these dark activities. Because it opens us up to communication from the realm of darkness. It's a deception. As a matter of fact, King Saul was so distraught about where he was at that after Samuel died, he went to a medium. He went to the witch at Endor. And he asked the witch at Endor to conjure up the spirit of Samuel. It's funny because the English Bible calls her a witch. But the Spanish Bible, when you read the Spanish Bible, she's known as La Pitonisa de Endor. And Pitonisia is, she was called a pythoness. Because witchcraft, there's a spirit of Python in witchcraft. Now, if you think of a python, that snake that just wraps around its prey and squeezes the life out of it, that's what happens when you open yourself up to the occult. There's a spirit that begins to wrap around you slowly and subtly. Before you know it, something is squeezing you. There's a pressure, and it's going after killing you. She was called the pythoness. And in the Spanish Bible, every time there's a medium, they're called pythoness. It's a deception, folks. Let me just tell you one more show. I was at home one day minding my business. God speaks to me a lot while I'm minding my business. And the Lord told me, turn on your TV. That's what I thought. Is that God? You give me permission to watch TV? No. He said, turn on your TV. So I did. There was a show that was on, and he told me, watch it. Broke my heart. It was called Psychic Children. Children of the Paranormal. And this was a show about little kids where people that have passed on are showing up in these kids' bedrooms, true children. And these spirits are trying to get these kids to communicate to their loved ones that they're okay, that they're at peace. Some of these kids are so frightened, one little girl couldn't sleep. And she would wake her mother up every night saying, Mom, the spirits are back again. And the mother had to work early in the morning and she kept missing her, getting late to work. And the little girl felt so bad that the show was following her. The little girl didn't want to wake up her mom anymore. So what she started doing is writing these notes on a piece of paper saying, Mom, the spirits are back. I'm scared. I'm afraid. And she'd slip the notes under her mother's door. So when her mother would wake up, there was a pile of notes by her door. Her daughter all night long, Mom, I can't sleep. The spirits are back. They're bothering me. I'm afraid. What do I do? That broke my heart. This girl needing comfort. And the mother was beside herself. She didn't know how to get the girl any help. So what does the show do? They bring in a psychic medium. And they gather all these kids that are having these paranormal experiences, and they help train them up in their mediumship abilities. He takes them into a haunted house, a house with demonic activity, that's what it is. And he teaches them how to communicate with those energies, demons, in those homes. So not to be afraid of them, but to actually dare to engage them. And I sat there madder than mad, and I felt the Lord saying, those are my children. I felt the Holy Spirit. I heard the Holy Spirit saying, those are my kids. But the enemy knows that God wants to communicate with his children. So what does he do? He comes up with a plan to communicate with us too. The world is spiritually blind. They don't know what's happening. But we're the church. I've gotten phone calls in my office. There's a kid who needs help. He's receiving information from someone who has passed. And that happens. I get those phone calls. There are people in your community today that are dealing with this very issue. Demons trying to communicate. And we know the truth. God has put us here as his army so that we can be part of the solution. Maybe you might never go to a medium. Maybe you never go to a psychic. But the devil says, gotcha. You might not go to a psychic or medium, but we might go see a movie. There's impartation. There's a lot of occult activity in movies. It's Harry Potter. It's the best example I can give you. That's witchcraft 101, 202, 303, and on and on. They teach you how to cast spells. They teach you how to read fortunes. They talk about anyone who has no magic ability, they're made fun of. They're called muggles. The message of the movie is, if you don't have magic, you're not fun. You're a nerd. You're boring. To be cool, you have to have magic ability. Well, the book really taught my kid how to read. But what did it open your kid to? Demons attached to stuff. And when we bring demonic stuff in our home, guess what we brought home? I've gotten the phone calls. My kid can't sleep. Would you come and pray? And Barbie and I have gone homes to pray. And when we get into the kid's bedroom, Halloween masks. No wonder why they can't sleep. Demons attached to stuff. That's why God would forbid his children in the Old Testament from grabbing stuff that was used in pagan rituals. That's why Israel's army was defeated in Ai. Maybe we might not go to a medium or a psychic, but maybe we might read a book. Board games, there are card games. Watch out with Pokemon. That's Pocket Monster. What is it that we're entertaining? Computer games. There are toys that are straight up demonic. Trading cards. The enemy uses nightmares. I have a whole chapter in my book on nightmares. How the enemy uses that. I believe those are demonic visitations. Apparitions. I don't know if I spelled that right. Forgive me if I didn't. Generational curses. The enemy uses all kinds of tricks so that maybe you won't go to a medium or a psychic or fortune teller, but he'll try to get the message to you and he'll try to get you to grab whatever that is and bring it home. Not only do we need to be free in our lives, we need to do a spiritual house cleaning. Lord, what do I have at home that needs to go? I had a couple come to us crying. Things are moving in our house. We're hearing voices. There's a demonic oppression in our home and we don't know what to do. I gathered a bunch of prayer warriors and we walked through their home and we're like, Lord, lead us. I went to the basement and as I was praying through the basement, I heard a voice saying, I don't want to leave. I said, well, too bad because today you're leaving. And we're praying throughout the house and we're anointing the house. And when I got to the living room and walked into the living room, on each side of the fireplace, this tall, dragons, these demonic looking dragons. And something, the Holy Spirit said, that's it right there. I said, I believe I know what demon you brought home. They're here on the sides of your fireplace. And the guy said, well, we paid a lot of money for that at a garage sale. I said, well, you can keep your treasure and not live in peace here, or you can totally trash that and break whatever is attached to that. And he said, to the garbage. We took it out and we had a nice smashing party. That night, they slept a sweet sleep of peace. He told me the next morning he had a dream that there was like a force field around his house and he saw a spirit on the outside of the force field trying to get in and it couldn't. We cleaned that home. The enemy has a trap. He wants to deceive you, your spouse, your kids, and any kids your kids have, he wants to go after them too. That's why we need to know the truth and train our families with the truth. Let's go on to the next one. Here's what God says in the word. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices a son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination. By the way, they would sacrifice their kids to the god Molech in fire. It sounds like Molech would receive his worship when kids were sacrificed. What does that sound like today? Yeah, you said it, abortion. Who practice, although there's forgiveness for that. Let me say that. God forgives us. There's wholeness and restoration from that. God says, let there be no one among you who practices divination or sorcery. Sorcery is mixing all the potions and there's a spirit behind that, spirit of pharmakia. Interpreting omens, engaging in witchcraft, casting spells, or one who's a medium or a spiritist or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out the nations before you. God forbids us from practicing any of these demonic activities. Next slide, please. There's another scripture. This one's almost hard to read, but it says, do not turn to mediums or necromancers, those who communicate with the dead. Do not seek them out and make yourself unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. A man or woman who is a medium or a necromancer shall surely be put to death. You shall not permit a sorceress to live, and so on and so forth. In the Old Testament, God would not allow it. There's forgiveness now. Well, in the New Testament, there's forgiveness now in the time of grace. So if there's been any occult activity in your life, you can repent of that and bring that to the Lord, and God will wash you clean. But not only should we not turn to this, let's go to the next one. Oh, I don't even have time to go here. But the roots of Halloween are pagan. They're demonic. All you have to do is a little research. It all started in Ireland. The Celtic farmers of Ireland, they had their folklore. And they believe that one night a year, Samhain, was the night when the dead would rise up from their graves and they would walk among them as ghosts. And because they walked among them as ghosts, what they would do is they would leave some food on the porch for them. They would leave food and wine so that they would keep by doing that, they would keep the ghosts at bay. And they were so afraid of these roaming ghosts that if they had to leave the house at Samhain, what they would do is they would put a mask on so that the ghosts would mistake them for fellow ghosts. And by doing that, now it's funny because there was some other rituals that they did as well. There was something called souling, where they would go house to house and they would pray for each family's deceased loved ones. And by doing that, they would give them food. They would give them a treat for doing that. And then on November 2nd, it was known as All Souls Day, and they would do something called guising. And guising was when they would go house to house and they would sing or bring poetry or tell jokes, and as a re- as a result of that, they would give them pastries and they would give them treats. Just very interesting how all of that, with the potato famine in the mid-19th century and all the Irish coming over here, they found a country that really didn't fully embrace all that, but they still brought with them their folklore. And little by little, that started adapting and being introduced into America to what we know today as Halloween. Do you know that after costumes and candies, you can look this up, Halloween is the second most money-making holiday in America after Christmas, making over $6 billion? And if you think about it, it has its roots in the Day of the Dead. It has this roots where it's a day where they are just commemorating those who have died and they're looking to pray for the dead loved ones and communicate with those who have passed on. We already read what God says about trying to communicate with those who have died. And that's what Halloween is founded on. That belief, that folklore. Even today, witches count it at one of the holiest days of the whole year. They believe that Samhain is the night on Halloween. They believe it's the night where the veil between this realm and the spirit realm is the thinnest. And it's a night so thin that you can pierce through, and it's the best night where you can communicate with those who have passed on. That's why to this day, witches, they love Halloween because Halloween is the time they gather and they have all their incantations and they do all of their rituals and so on and so forth. They invite the ghosts and to join them, those who have passed on to join them. It is a night of occult activity. I love the vision that God gave this house for that night. Because believe it or not, God created October 31st. Just like he created March 13th. And July 29th, the day I was born. Because it is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Just because the devil counterfeits it doesn't mean that's what it needs to remain. Every counterfeit has an original counterpart. So for every fake dollar bill, there's going to be a real one somewhere. Not for everyone, but for every design, there's a real dollar bill somewhere. So Halloween is a counterfeit of the fact that every day is a holy day unto the Lord. But even in Israel, there were days where they would come together to bring in the new year. They would bring in holy days. They would bring in the days, the Day of Atonement. It was a holy day where the high priest would offer. There were days in Israel that were the high holy days of the year. This is a counterfeit of that in the kingdom of darkness. So it is a time of a lot of occult activity. That doesn't mean anything else because we worship God. That shouldn't hold us back. That shouldn't do anything. But we need to know how the world celebrates this day so that we need to, everything that we do makes a statement. When you come to church, whether you know it or not, you're not coming here to take space. You don't have a space ministry. You're here to take your place, to grow in your ministry, in your ministry call, in your anointing, and fulfill the call that God has given you. So when you come to church, you're making a declaration. I worship God. I'm here to worship God. And everything we do, there's only two people that can receive our worship. It's either going to be God or it's going to be the devil. And they're both fighting for our worship. Well, God's not fighting for it. He commands it, that he's the only one. So when we celebrate a day like Halloween, we need to ask ourselves, why are we doing it? Oh, well, it's fun. You know, I did it. And, you know, I want my kids to do it. You know, you get. But when you look at the purpose of the Halloween, by you being, regardless of your motive for it, you have to understand by you getting involved in it, what you're doing is you are taking on the purpose of what that day means. I believe God wants us to redeem it. I believe God wants us to use it as we can use the wisdom of the Lord and use it to really bring in the harvest, which is what you're doing. That's why I rejoice with you in what you're doing. But I want to say to you, pay close attention what statement you're making, not just in your own life, but to your children. Next slide. Whew, I don't have enough time, but let me say this. We talked a lot about counterfeit. The counterfeit is nothing. Did I ever tell you about Barbie's purse? I tell you about Barbie's. Remember that? Somebody gave Barbie a knockoff purse. She said, honey, what do you think of this? I said, it matches, I guess, what you're wearing. I don't know what she meant. She says, can you tell it's a knockoff? I'm like, why are you wearing a knockoff? She goes, well, somebody gave it to me. I'm just going to wear it once because I'm going to do coffee with them. And then I said, okay. I said, well, you're a good friend. I was minding my business praying one day and God told me, buy her an original purse. So I said, Lord, is that Tarjay? Where do you go to get the original bag? I talked to my secretary, Tina. I said, Tina, it kind of looks like this word. And she was like, oh, I know what that is. She took me online. And she goes, this is a good one. We picked it out, ordered it. Barbie was excited to get it. I was sad to get the bill. I was like, people pay that for purses? My goodness. So she got the original bag. And no longer did she ask me, does this, can you tell? I mean, so the first one, she kind of wore it down here. The second one, she couldn't, you couldn't put it up any higher. Barbie wore that purse up here. And she was like, yeah, look at my purse. And I felt, when I saw that, the Lord said, that's how my children should operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have the original anointing. We have license to hear from the spirit realm, from the kingdom of God. This is the right way, the way God intended. You're not looking to hear from God. God wants you to hear from God. We have permission to hear from God. And when we hear from God, we hear from the right spirit, the spirit of truth. We are supposed to be out there, not like that psychic medium. We're supposed to be the ones out there saying, yes, I have a relationship with Jesus. And he loves you. And let me pray for you and see what the Lord says to you. The prophetic, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is the power of God. You're not here going, oh, it'd be nice to have that, but I'm not one of those to have. No. God is asking us to ask him for these. He's saying, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, and especially that you would prophesy. Because he who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, comfort. This is the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's good to be in church. It's good to be here. We're growing in our Christian character. But if all we have is character and we lack power, we won't know how to pray for the sick. We won't know how to hear from heaven and prophesy a word of the Lord to someone in need. We need to grow in character and grow in the gifts. We need to grow in character and grow in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to learn how to operate in your power. So it's not just telling someone all the good things. Well, the Bible talks about miracles. Well, what about you? Can you pray for this? We need to be able to step into that and pray and see healing and anointing. We need to stir up the anointing, and it comes by stepping into it by faith and saying, Lord, teach me. I'm believing that God's going to raise up such a powerful, that's what he said to me when I started ministry. He spoke to me one night. He said, raise up a prophetic army. And I'm believing God's going to raise up such a powerful prophetic army that mediums and psychics, if they come and stop someone, well, you know, I believe this. Oh, that's nothing. That prophetic person over there already told me that from God. And a whole lot more. We should have the mediums and the psychics and coming here saying, wait a minute, I thought I had something going on. What's going on over here? Simon the sorcerer was known for his sorceries. And in the book of Acts, it says that when he saw Peter and them laying hands and imparting the Holy Spirit, he was like, whoa, how much can I give you for that gift? He was blown away. He got rebuked for it. His heart was wrong. But he saw something he'd never seen before. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not to be afraid of the occult. We're not to be afraid or mad at them. We are to release the anointing that's in us. Don't sit in that chair. A witch was in that chair. A witch should be careful because we were sitting in that chair. We have power. And it's time that we learn proper perspective. I get such a stirring on this because there's a world that goes. And then this generation, my daughter's 14, my other daughter's 11. This generation, the devil has a target on them. He's going after them. He's trying to woo them with Twilight and all that stuff that's out there. Look, ooh, you know, you could be a witch. You could be powerful. You could be this. You could be that. And in the church, we're not teaching them what power is. We can teach them to pray healing. We can teach them to move in the power of words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Teach them how to hear from God in dreams and interpret those dreams so that once they start hearing that God communicates and that they have anointing and that they have power, they realize that that stuff doesn't mean anything. Now what? Let's repent for opening any doors to the enemy. Let's surrender fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's learn how to activate the gifts, the power of the Holy Spirit, and let's be an effective witness. It's good to be out there saying, Jesus loves you. We need to be doing that. But how more powerful to say, Jesus loves you and come here. I want to pray for you. You're sick? Come here. I know Jesus loves you, but come here. I'm perceiving there's something going on at home. The Lord's talking to me about your condition at your home. That's when people start going, whoa, how do you know that? It's adding power to our evangelism. It took us a while to get saved. We're growing into the image of Christ. Don't expect to be stirred up prophetically and then just all of a sudden now you're a prophet. It takes mentoring. It takes training. It takes time to develop your ears to hear from God. It takes time. We got to dedicate ourselves to learn how to go after that anointing and develop it. It took me a while. It took me years of submitting to the Lord and learning how to develop that. And now my pastor trusts me. Now Pastor Marty's here. He trusts me. And I have people that trust me, but it took me a while to submit and learn to grow. Let's go after that anointing. Let's go after develop the anointing so we can be a powerful witness to the Lord's glory. Church, can we say amen to that? Amen. Team, come on up here. I only have a few more minutes. We're going to do our sniper calls. I called my snipers up here. Thank God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He gives us power. Why do we need power? Because we're going to encounter demons, people filled with demonic oppression, people abused, people mistreated, suspicious people, people that atheists, people that don't believe in God, people close to God. And we need all that anointing so that when we step into every encounter, we'll hear what the Spirit says. Okay, this person needs this. Tell them this. This person needs that. Pray that. This person has this oppression in their life. Bind that. That's why we need the prophetic anointing flowing in our lives to counter the counterfeit. I pray for this generation. Lord, give us a prophetic reality show that we could be on TV going out on the streets prophesying over people. Let this generation see that there are prophets and prophetic people alive today who hear from God. We had 3 new people visit our Bible school last night. Never seen them before. And they were getting ready. What class do I go to? I said, why don't you guys take this class? It's a good class. And they said, oh, thank you. They turned to leave and I said, but come here for a moment. Let me tell you what God says about you. They looked at me like, huh? Here's what the Lord says about you. Do you want to hear what God says about you? Yeah. Here's what he says about you. Here's what you're going through. And here's what he wants you to know. And my wife was standing there while I prophesied to those 3 women. And they were all full of tears. They were just receiving the joy of the Lord, being comforted with the voice of God being spoken to their lives. We have that anointing. We have that power. It's in us. Pastor Bob, would you stand? The Lord says to you, my son, many want the authority. Many want the anointing. Many want the power. But not only have you cried out for it, you've embraced the fire. For you've stepped into a furnace, says the Lord. And although the hammerings have been hard, and although the clashing of the metal has been hard, you've remained in the midst of the fire. And you've trusted the hand of the potter. You've trusted the hand of the master blacksmith. For I see the form that I am shaping. And although the pain has been intense, God says, I am shaping. And I say to you, greater glory is ahead. And the price to be paid for that greater glory is the price of submission in the midst of this season. And God says, you have surrendered. And I say to you, Pastor Bob, it's been a tough flame. It's been a high fire. It's been consuming things. But God says, you are shining. You are refining. You are stepping out refined, man of God. And the glory and the authority that you're about to encounter is one that you've desired but could not have stepped into before the furnace. So embrace it, my son, says the Lord.
This lady right here, the black, I think you were on the worship team. Yes. What was your name? Nicole. Is it okay if I minister to you? Nicole, I just sense that you are one that you really are a fighter. You just really have like a tenacious spirit about you. But I feel like you're going through some really difficult things right now. And the Lord is saying that he wants you to know he's fighting on your behalf. Like he just wants you to stand still and to know, to see the salvation of the Lord. So just to know that he's fighting for you, that you just have to be still and know that he's working it out on your behalf. Even when you can't see things happening in the natural, just know that the Lord is shifting and moving things and that he really is working on your behalf in this season right now.
And then there's a young man with like orange stripes right there. sir, can I minister to you? I felt like the minute I saw you, I saw the word wisdom over your head, and I feel like the Lord quickened to me, of course, the scripture out of James, that if any man lacks wisdom, let him come to the Lord, and the Lord would give it to him liberally. And I feel like the Lord saying, come to me and ask me for wisdom for the practical and the natural things in life. But more than that, the Lord saying, I want to increase wisdom in your life, that there'll be a word that comes out of your mouth for counsel from others, especially for your generation, that will be so sound and so right and so secure, and that spirit of truth will come through you for wisdom for those that come up of you and ask you for an answer for how to conduct their lives. Amen.
What's your name, man of God? Ben. Ben, I just, while Joanne was prophesying to you, it's almost like I saw something draped over behind you. And I felt the Lord saying there have been some mistakes in your past that you looked at a lot. And you've held yourself accountable for a lot of that in a heavy way. And I felt like God saying, I'm covering some things from your past. And God wants to give you a new confidence for what's ahead. God says, don't turn back there. Look forward for what's ahead. For I'm calling you forward out of that season. It's as if though you've been in this cave and you've allowed yourself to be there. But God says, I call you out this day. I call you out into the light to see fully what I say about you and who you are in me, says the Lord. So he's calling you into a new strength and into a new day. So I say to you, that season of looking back and feeling just less than because of things that have happened, God says he's bringing you forward. He's breaking that off of you and causing you to step into a new identity this day, says the Lord.
Can I say one more thing? I felt like the Lord just showed me a picture of a magnifying glass. I felt like the Lord saying, don't look at your life like through a magnifying glass, but like look up and look out, because the Lord's saying, I have so much in store for you. Don't look back like Pastor Hector was saying. Don't look at your life through a magnifying glass, but look through the eyes of the Lord at all that he has in store for your future.
Brother, what's your name? You're in the front wearing the red. John, you're here by design. You know that? That's your seat. You were brought here. You're escorted here. I see the Lord around you. I see the Lord saying, I've been trying to get your attention. I've been setting things in place for you to let you know that this is real. My call to you is real. It's not fake. No one's making it up. No one's filling your ear with stuff or nonsense. God says, I love you with an everlasting love. And I know absolutely everything about you, says the Lord. And even the heartbreak, and even of those who have left you, and even of those who have abandoned you, and you've had to be strong on your own, God says, I will never leave nor forsake you, says God. I know you. The Lord says, he's your father. You can trust that he will never leave nor forsake you. But I say to you that the days of darkness are behind you. And I say to you that the best for you is yet ahead. You've not seen life. But God says, I brought you here to talk to you about life. The plan that I have for you, that's a good plan. And God says, you're like one, you're hidden in a shell. And there's been some tough things, and you've had to be tough. But God says, I'm cracking that shell, and I'm reaching you, says the Lord. And you'll know my love, and you'll know my goodness, says the Lord. And even now, God says, I'm going to redeem the time for you. For there's just been tough time, and I'm going to make time ahead. It's as if though there's, in a short amount of time, God's going to do a lot over your life. So I say to you, you're here. God is excited that you're here. And it's a good thing you're in the front row, brother. He knows who you are. He loves you.
This girl who's next to the girl, I was just, Nicole. Yeah. No, you. What was your name? What is it? Andrea. I just hear the scripture, let patience have its perfect work. And I feel like the Lord is saying that you have really let patience have its perfect work in your life, that there's been some things that you've been waiting on the Lord for, that you've been like that persistent widow going before the Lord, knocking and asking and just continually going before the Lord. And I feel like the Lord is saying your breakthrough is here, that just to look, to be in a place of expectation and know that your prayers have been heard before the Lord, and that you really have let the Lord soften your heart and tenderize your heart, and to really, he's done a deep work in you, I feel like. And so just to know that the answer is on its way, and that the Lord has heard your cry, even at the very moment, the very first prayer that you prayed to the Lord, it's like that was before his ears, and he's getting ready to move and respond on your behalf.
Andrea? What's your name?
Andrea.
Andrea? I just heard some cheering in the spirit realm. I just heard people were excited for you as you were getting that word, but it's almost like I'm hearing, give me an A! We got one. It was an A. It was like, every step you have taken, God is cheering you on. God is calling you forth, woman of God. every step you've taken. You think it's just been a small thing. God sees every step you've taken because he knows that it's been difficult for you at times. He knows it's been difficult and tough, and it's been easy for you just to turn around and run back. But God says you've been moving forward. You've been inquiring of the Lord. You've been asking of God. You've been drawing closer to God. God says, I see every step. And God is cheering you on. He's saying, come here. Come here. Come here into the arms of the Lord. God is drawing you closer and he's cheering every step for you. There's celebration that you're about to step into. You're about to celebrate because people have had a hold on your life before and God is breaking that off of your life. That will not affect you anymore, says the Lord.
The young one with the scarf and the gray sweater, may I minister to you? I feel like the Lord spoke to me that you're a trailblazer and that you're a worshiper. The Lord has given you a real heart to worship. It's almost like you were birthed with a heart to worship the King of Kings. And the Lord's saying, because of that worship, that heart within you, the Lord's saying there's no limitations over your life, that every possibility is yours, that you can go as far as you want to, be anything that you want to. The Lord's going to open doors before you. He has seen your life. He's seen your heart. And I just feel like the Lord's just like so well pleased with you and just like saying to you, like the cheerleader, come on, come on, come on. But just wants you to know that you're going to be a trailblazer in the natural and in the spirit.
That was for you. Even before you called her out, I felt like God wanted to speak to you. That was for you. What's your name? Olivia, the Lord says you're a teacher. Even at a young age, God says, I'm going to give you the ability to teach and instruct with excellence. And God says, you'll be known as one with favor to instruct and impart understanding to others. And people will come to you at a young age saying, I don't get this, explain it to me. So the Lord says, even now, that gift is starting to activate in your life and move forward. There's favor on your life that God says he's going to put you in the right place at the right time. I see you advancing in career. I see you advancing in schooling. Is your mom and dad here? Are your mom and dad here? They're not here? Well, we bless them in Jesus' name. We pray God's wisdom over their lives on how to mentor you and raise that gift up in you. The Lord loves you with an everlasting love. We're going to turn it in.
This lady over here, you have a football jersey on. What's your name? Shawnee? Okay. Is it okay if I minister to you? I just feel like the Lord is saying he's calling you to rise up in boldness in this season, that he's really putting some words even in your spirit for you to speak forth and to begin to declare. And I just sense that as you do that, he's just sending his angelic presence before you to respond to the word of the Lord as you declare it forth. So just to look to the Lord, I even see you with the Bible, with the word of God open before you. And I feel like the Lord is saying he really wants to illuminate some scriptures to you. It's like he wants to take you on a treasure hunt to really dig deep into the things of God. And I also just sense that you have a gift of hospitality and that you're one that you just, people love to come over. They love to be hosted by you. And that's really an anointing. That's a gift that the Lord has placed on you. And he wants you even to increase in that gift, to really, to look at it as a blessing and not to be a burden for you. He really wants it to be a thing of just joy and fruitfulness and just to see that it's going to be increased in the days to come.
This couple both with the, are you married? This couple both with the black, are you two married? Yeah. I just felt like, I don't know if you raised a bunch of kids or had a bunch of kids or anything, but I just feel like the Lord is just saying that you have kids. That the Lord is just saying that there's such a grace and an ability to impart truth and life and wisdom into children, your own and others, many. And I just feel like even in the days ahead, that you're going to have so much to offer children. I just saw like your hands opening and giving out to children and lives being totally transformed under your tutelage and under your mentoring children, not only your own, but just seeing many, many other children around you. And there's such a grace on you to instruct children.
Thank you. Church, let's go after the fullness of the anointing of what God has for us. There's a dying world that needs us. And we are, whenever we do anything for God, we're his hands extended. Wherever we go for God, we're his feet extended. But as we open up our mouths and share Jesus and prophesy to those out there, we're his mouth extended, his voice extended in the world today. And he's looking for those that he can release as a voice. Brother, I don't know your name, with the blue shirt, the black jacket. Front row. Chuck, there's a harvest for you. You've sown many seeds. God says, I'm sending you your harvest. And I see you like in a tractor, and you're going forward in a tractor, and you're just plowing ground, and you're plowing ground. The Lord says there's been some tough ground in your life, but I'm bringing you now to the season of fertile soil where all those seeds that you have planted, God says, harvest, harvest, harvest. Harvest in your family, financial harvest. And I hear God saying that you are going to rest a good season. This is going to be a great season of rest from toil. You're just going to receive the goodness of the Lord this season. So, church, I leave you now with Pastor Marty, but I leave you with that admonition. Go after your prophetic anointing and be an effective witness for the Lord. Pastor Marty.